sped up to that holy night. And we can learn a lot about God. We can learn a lot about Mary. And we certainly learn a lot about ourselves and about how we can live our lives in a way that brings glory to the Lord, just as Mary did. The little mini Mary series, or the Mary mini series, is not meant to glorify her. She would not want that. Mary was all about glorifying her Lord. And yet, God chose Mary to be his vessel to bring in the Lord of glory to the earth. And God chose Mary, and that's actually the point we're going to look at next Sunday, and then the last Sunday of the month we will look at the Lord Jesus and the things that we can learn from the Lord Jesus as a boy as well as a young man, also surrendered to his God. But that's next week. But God chose Mary to be this vessel that God would enter into, and then God would come into the world through this teenage girl. And we saw last week that more than anything, it's obvious in this story that Mary was consecrated to the Lord. Even as a young teenage girl, possibly as young as 15 or 16 years of age, Mary had already dedicated herself to the Lord and set herself apart unto the Lord in purity, and therefore God's power came upon her, God's person in the Holy Spirit came upon her, and out of her was born the Messiah, the Savior, the Lord, the King of Kings, Jesus Christ. This morning I would like for us to look at another facet of this multifaceted young lady. And it is this, that Mary was not only consecrated, but Mary was also a contemplative person. Look at chapter 1, verse 29. It says that after the angel appeared to Mary, verse 28, the angel came in unto her and said, "Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women." And verse 29 says, "When she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be." We get a sense here that Mary wasn't someone that was really outspoken or verbal. She didn't let out a string of exclamations here in fear or wonderment. She just was kind of in shock, and she cast in her mind, or tossed around in her mind, she was bewildered. What in the world does this mean? What kind of greeting is this? Who is this person? And immediately the angel began to comfort her. "Fear not, Mary. You're not in trouble." Okay? I never heard those words whenever I was called to the principal's office in school. I never heard, "Don't worry, Bruce, you're not in trouble." It was always the opposite. I knew when I got called to the principal's office that my teacher had told them that I was disrupting class, because that was my number one hang-up as a fourth grader and a fifth grader and sixth and seventh. And through college, okay, and on into my married life. So whenever my mother would use my full name, I knew I was in trouble. And somehow my wife learned that from my mother, because now when my wife uses my full name, I know I'm in trouble. Well, right away the angel wanted to comfort Mary, because She was startled. She was bewildered. But notice that she didn't start speaking out and interrupting the angels. She just cast these things back and forth in her mind. She contemplated them. She's trying to figure out what's going on. And the angel said, "Don't be afraid, Mary. You're not in trouble. It's quite the opposite. You have found favor with God." And then he went on to tell her why he had appeared to her. And then notice once again, as we fast forward through the story in chapter 2, verse 19, that once the shepherds came and saw the baby Jesus, they came with haste, verse 16 of chapter 2. They found Mary and Joseph, just like the angel said, and they found the babe lying in a manger, just like the word of God told them. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child, which took time. This all didn't happen in one night. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. So just as the people who Jesus healed couldn't be quiet about it, so the shepherds could not be quiet about discovering the fulfilled word and promise of God. And so everyone they ran into, they said, "Guess what happened to us? Guess what we saw? Guess what? Guess what? Guess what?" But Mary, and by the way, there's a lot of Christians out there that when they get saved, they tell everybody. But not everybody's like that. This also demonstrates a difference in personalities. Mary didn't, and I told you now, time went by. So Mary's had time to heal up, and Mary's had time to interact with other people. And it doesn't say that Mary did the same thing, that she was just telling everybody about what happened to her. Once again, we see her as a quiet, contemplative individual. And the Bible says in verse 19, "But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart." Mary was a person who quietly contemplated things that God brought to her mind. She was not a loud, forceful, overbearing, obnoxious person. That's obvious from the story. And to ponder is an interesting word. It's the only time it's used in the New Testament, this word. And it means to consider a matter from both sides. It almost denotes, and I told you last week, I don't believe Mary doubted. Zacharias did doubt, and he questioned, how is this going to happen? He questioned the word of the Lord, even though he himself had been praying for a child in his old age. And so when Gabriel answered his prayer and then Zechariah responded the way he did, the angel rebuked him and said, I am an angel of the Lord. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent here to tell you good news. And in a manner of speaking, in so many words, I believe the angel was saying, I was sent here to tell you that your prayer has been answered, and here you are questioning it. So therefore, you're not going to be able to speak until these things are fulfilled that I have told you. And truly, that's exactly what happened. But with Mary, this revelation was given to her, this information was given to her, and she began to ponder them. I don't believe doubting the word of the Lord, but maybe even doubting herself. Did this really happen? You know, it's too good to be true type thing. And that's really what the word ponder means. It means to consider a matter from two sides. And all of us can learn from Mary's approach to life and from her proper response to this glorious yet troublesome news. Think about it. In her day and in her culture, it was different than now, unfortunately. And in those days, as I pointed out last week, for a girl her age or any lady or woman to become pregnant out of wedlock was a huge and scandalous thing. And I think even more so if you lived in a village than if you lived in a highly populated area. Because obviously those of you from small communities know that everybody knows everybody and everybody knows everybody's business. And so can you imagine, as Mary tossed these things back and forth in her mind that first night that she put her head down on the pillow to go to sleep? Some possible conflicting thoughts that filled her mind that first sleepless night after the angel appeared to her may have been, what will my family do to me? Will they? This is so hard to believe. This has never happened before in the history of man. What's going to happen with my family? What is going to happen with my Joseph? Will he believe this? Because at this point, you know, that first night, she didn't know that the angel also reassured Joseph, chill out, calm down. This is for real. This is a miracle. You've been chosen. But she's wondering, maybe, what will Joseph do to me? What will my friends think of me? What will the entire village think? Will they stone me to death? That was part of their law. Will they follow the law and try and stone me to death? All of these concerns about herself might seem self-centered, but the reality is this. The reality is that the situation Mary found herself in was a potential threat not only to her, but to the baby that had been promised her. Okay? And so she had a lot of things to worry about. That's one side that Mary pondered. You remember there's two sides, and she's considering both. Here's the other side of the matter that Mary considered. Mary was human just like you and I. The false doctrine of the Immaculate Conception is exactly that. It's false teaching. Mary did not have a divine, miraculous birth like Jesus. And Mary was not sinless. Thank goodness God chose a flawed, weak, albeit pure and consecrated. She had her flaws. I'm sure there was somebody in the village that didn't like Mary, that she didn't get along with. She had her weaknesses. And I have no doubt that that first night she pondered back and forth the two sides of this thing. But the other side that I believe strengthened Mary's heart. Look at chapter 1, verse 34. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? We covered that last week. The angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you. He honored her question. She just wanted to know. She didn't doubt his word. She just wanted to know the whole chemistry of the thing. The biology of the thing. How is this going to happen, seeing that I'm not going to do this with a man, which is, as far as I know, I'm ad-libbing here, of course, you know. This is in the Amplified version. As far as I know, this is an impossibility, a biological impossibility. And the angel honored her request by telling her the Holy Spirit is going to overshadow you. He's going to bring this about. In other words, it's going to be an event unique to anything humankind has ever known. That's what a miracle is when God does something outside the usual laws of the universe. When God steps outside the laws of nature and biology and does his own thing because he can, that's a miracle. We use the word miracle kind of loosely, myself included. We might even say that it's a miracle that God answered my prayer. Well, loosely speaking, it is. But oftentimes, God uses the laws of nature around us to answer our prayers. And technically speaking, by definition, it's not a miracle. But when God steps outside the realm of human knowledge and ability, that's a miracle. And that's exactly what the angel was saying to Mary here. It's going to be a miracle. It's going to be something like you've never seen before. The world has never seen before. It's going to be done by the power of the highest and by the Holy Spirit. And he says, behold, your cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. So really, now this is kind of the sheepskin Gideon thing here. The angel's throwing out a way that Mary can confirm all of this and calm her heart. That this is of God, and if it's of God, he's going to protect you. He's going to watch over you. He's going to be with you through this thing. And so then Mary said, I surrender all. That's really what she said. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, here I am. Just like Isaiah in chapter 6 of his book, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her, and Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into the city of Judah. Why do you think she went with haste? She's driving that four-wheeler. She doesn't even have a helmet on. And the dust is kicking up behind her, and she's getting there as fast as she can. Why? She wanted, you know, she's a human being. She wants some of that reassurance. And so she entered into the house of Zechariah and saluted Elizabeth. She's like, hey, are you home? Is anybody home? And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, when Elizabeth heard Mary's voice, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, notice Elizabeth spake with a loud voice. Now that could have been her personality coming through, right? Mary was all quiet and contemplative. And I'm guessing if they were BFFs that they were opposites. But also Elizabeth spoke with a loud voice because the Holy Spirit of God filled her and began to praise the name of the Lord. Blessed art thou among women, blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And by the way, how could Elizabeth know any of this? So right away, Mary knows this is of God because they haven't been texting, they haven't been on the phone, they haven't been Facebooking. None of that existed. They haven't seen each other in a while, and yet Elizabeth just began to praise God and tell Mary why. She spake with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, blessed is the fruit of thy womb, and whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And it must have been a really big jump because, you know, babies kick and move anyway. You know, I remember those days when Lena said, hey, hon, put your hand right here. He's kicking. He's kicking. Yeah, he's been kicking ever since. But I would actually talk to Jonathan before he was born. And you all know that I believe the baby gets used to that voice. I would sing to him before he was born. And in those nights when Lena couldn't get him quieted down at 2 or 3 in the morning, and she had to get up earlier than I, and so I would be the hero for once in my life and drag myself out of bed, take that rebellious baby into my arms and sit in the rocking chair, and then I would just begin singing to him, and as cranky as he was, he would go right to sleep. I believe those babies remember and hear those voices inside the mom. Well, but this jump was unusual. This jump was like on a trampoline over and over when Elizabeth heard Mary's voice. And the baby jumped for joy. And she said, and blessed is she that believed. You see that? That confirms to me that when the angel spoke to Mary, she did not doubt the revealed word of God. She believed the word coming from the angel, coming from God. And she says, blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. So here's this young teenage girl whose faith was strong, but she still cast in her mind and pondered back and forth, oh my goodness, what's going to happen? And she'd start to worry and she'd start to stress out. And guess what she would do? She would go to the other side of the matter, and she realized and reassured herself that God was in control. But she still hastened to the house of Elizabeth to see what was going on there. So when Mary saw Elizabeth is great with child, just like the angel said, and when Mary heard out of Elizabeth's mouth herself, when she said, And by the way, this is the first Mary heard of it, was this way. When my baby heard your voice, my baby jumped with joy. So Elizabeth's like, okay, so she hasn't been just eating too much mashed potatoes. She does have a baby inside of her, okay? And when Mary heard all this, and all this was confirmed by the word of the Lord, and by the fulfillment of this forecast, this prophecy given by the Lord, then Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. So, okay, Mary needed a Savior, just like the rest of us. If Mary was not a sinner, Mary would not have needed a Savior. But Mary was a sinner. And yet she had set apart herself for the Lord. She had the same struggles that you and I have, the same peer pressures in some ways. She had the same sinful nature. She had the same temptations. And yet she had lived her young little life for the Lord. And God loved his little lamb. And he reached down and he used her as a vessel to bring in the Messiah. And she, all this was confirmed before her. And when it settled in on her that this is for real, she said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. Now, I do believe that the same Spirit of God filled Mary that filled Elizabeth. And Elizabeth spoke praise to God, but it doesn't say that here. Okay, it doesn't say it right up front. We have to assume that the Spirit of God filled Mary and she began to magnify the Lord. But I believe also that Mary already prayed like this and already talked to God like this. This was not a first-time experience with her as far as praising the Lord and worshiping the Lord. I believe that was already a part of her life and a part of her fabric, if you will. And she said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. My spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He has showed strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. That's the other side that Mary argued against and combated her worries and her stresses and all the what ifs. She combated it with what? The realization that God is almighty. God is in control. God can do anything, and he's done everything for me. And once again, she's not self-centered. She's just rejoicing in the goodness and the grace of God as an undeserving sinner. God has done all this for her, and you and I can encourage ourselves the same way. And once these two ladies had their little praise session here, it says Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. And so really, they couldn't get enough of it. They just sat around for 3 months having tea, having little meals together, breaking bread together, praying together, praising God together, comparing notes. And yet, these two mommies had no clue what heartache they were in for. Oftentimes, tremendous blessing comes with very deep valleys. And both of them were going to travel the valley of the shadow of death in their souls with their sons. And yet, God used it greatly for his glory. So the other side of the matter that Mary pondered, after she had already said, be it unto me according to thy word, But she never failed to give praise to God and quietly trust the Lord, even in the story of the crucifixion. If you remember, we see Mary in the background. Of course, she was at the foot of the cross, but what I mean is quietly observing in the background all of these unfoldings exactly as the Lord had revealed to her through her Son. You know, the Lord Jesus had told his disciples and told his followers, we're in the book of Matthew on Wednesday nights, and the Lord Jesus told, you remember from that first time that he revealed to the disciples, I'm going to go to Jerusalem and I'm going to die, and that's when Peter took hold of the Lord and said, not so, this isn't part of the plan. Okay, wasn't part of Peter's plan, right? And that's when the Lord said, get thee behind me, Satan. Remember that story? Well, in those chapters, in those few chapters, the Lord Jesus revealed to his disciples three times, I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm going to die. And after 3 days, I'm going to rise again. So don't tell me that his mother was not aware of that. But what did Mary do? Did she get a hold of Jesus and say, this isn't going to happen. This can't happen. I'm not going to let this happen. I'm going to manipulate things to my liking. No, she didn't do that. She just quietly kept them in her heart. She contemplated these things. She pondered these things. Most importantly, she communed with her God about these things. So with all of this in mind, let's bring it down to a close. Let's contemplate, what do I contemplate? Let's ponder, what do I ponder? Let's consider, what are the things that I consider during the day or as I lay down at night? In the daytime, as I'm going through my busy life, do I mull over my walk with God? Do I mull over my God, his promises, his character, his ways, his will? Do I ponder the things of God quietly in my heart? Or do I avoid this at all cost by cluttering and filling my mind and spirit with useless thoughts and things and noise? Because you see, a cluttered mind is a mind that cannot contemplate or consider anything of eternal value. Remember in Genesis 6:5, you don't have to turn to it right now, but just for sake of time, I refer to Genesis 6:5, just before the flood. The Lord looked upon the earth and he saw that the thoughts and imaginations of man's heart was evil continually. All of man's contemplations was about how to do more evil things. And it repented. The very next verse, I think it's verse 6 of Genesis 6, says it repented the Lord that he had made man. In other words, God sees our hearts and he knows our thoughts and he evaluates them. Because Psalm 1 says, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he contemplate. In his law doth he meditate. In his law doth he ponder day and night, and brings it up again and again to the mind. That's the wise man, and that's the man and the lady whom God blesses. And I believe that's the kind of young lady Mary was even before the Lord chose her. The things that you and I treasure say a lot about us and about our walk with God. May we allow this story of Mary that illustrates her walk with God to move us to a closer, deeper, quieter communion with our Lord. Communion with God throughout the day and during the night brings great peace. Think about God. Ponder him and his workings in your life. And whisper to him. Talk to the Lord throughout the day. He's listening. He hears. And when we commune with the Lord and when we communicate with the Lord, that is prayer. We don't have to be on our knees necessarily to pray. We can commune with God and punctuate the day all day long. It doesn't mean not to have our head in the game and not even know where we're driving when we're running errands through town, though that happens when you get older. Okay. Doesn't mean that. Doesn't mean not to have your not to pay attention at work and do a good job. Not saying that. I'm saying in the quiet moments, why do we have to reach for the radio? Why do we have to reach for the phone? Why do we have to reach for the internet or the computer? Why do we have to continually introduce noise and clutter into our minds? I think a part of it could be that we're running from the things that we should be pondering. Mary didn't run from those things. She ran towards them, because what we should be pondering is our Lord and the things of God and the things of eternity. And as you do, and as even as we ponder our troubles, our trials, our stress points, well, practice this art of pondering by considering two things, both things, not just our troubles, but our great God who's able to rescue us from our troubles, our great God who's able to protect us, our great God who will do mighty things through us if we simply dedicate, consecrate ourselves to Him like Mary did. Lord, thank You for Your precious word. Please use it in our lives as we commune with You, as we contemplate things of eternity, Your great love for us, Your mercy and grace, Your power, Your wisdom. Oh God, bring it down to brass tacks for us. Please bring Your great truths down to our daily living, our daily schedules, and our daily ponderings. And may we, like Mary, ponder You and fall in love with You day after day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, Pastor Brian, what number should we sing?